Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We continue to monitor the situation with the stay-at-home order, and we continue to make these sermons available on our website and also live stream services on our Facebook page, Grace Lutheran Church, Grass Valley. We are also investigating getting them also placed on YouTube so that those who don't have Facebook can see them there. The Holy Gospel for the second Sunday of Easter is from St. John, chapter 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Alleluia! Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Jesus is alive. What is Thomas to do? He spent a week in denial, unsure of the joy of his fellow disciples. He knows, he just knows, that there is no way that Jesus could have come back to life. Nope. Not after the crucifixion. The Romans are just too efficient to mess something like that up. Now, like us these many weeks, he stands locked up in a room. Defiant? Doubtful? Disbelieving? Maybe all of the above. Until that pivotal moment, that moment when the Lord and God of all creation stands before him, when the one who spoke the dead to life, the one who rubbed blindness away, the one who lifted the lame so they could walk again, when the risen Christ stands before him, what is Thomas to do? "My Lord and my God," Thomas says. An affirmation of who the one true God really is. It's an affirmation spoken by Israel as they confessed that the God who had carried them through the Red Sea, that the God who had safely ushered them through the wilderness, that the God whose voice shook Sinai, that the God who had driven their enemies screaming from before them, that the God who had provided bread from heaven and water from a stricken rock, that this God was their one and only God. That is Thomas's reality. My Lord and my God. The one who stands before Thomas is the one who recreates all of creation by destroying death and making graves into temporary beds. The one who stands before Thomas is the one who turns back the clock to the time before there was death and recreates all of creation in that image without that dread killer. So when the last day comes and the trumpet sounds and the heavens are rent asunder and the glory of the Lord outshines even the sun, and the voice speaks from the majestic glory, "Come out." This is the one that you will see. When the voice of the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the world shakes creation, and all the dead in Christ are raised to life everlasting, you will shout with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." But why? Why the sudden confidence? Why the sudden certainty? Why the boldness? Why not? Who is this that stands before Thomas? Is this not the very Lord of life himself? Is this not the one who wrestled sin and death and the devil into the dark, bottomless pit of hell and left them there, rising triumphant from that fight? This is your all-powerful Lord and God, the one who treats death as it truly is, a minor inconvenience for his children, an unholy annoyance on the way to a bodily life with all of the company of heaven forever. And the disciples are given the confidence and the assurance and the promise that this life is indeed theirs too. For their Lord Christ stands before them, appearing out of nowhere, it seems, and breathes upon them and speaks his peace unto them. And that is no small thing. For the risen Christ speaks his comfort to them as the angel of the Lord would speak his words of comfort. Do not be afraid. And then he breathes on them the life-giving Spirit of God. Just as the Lord God breathed into Adam the breath of life, just as Ezekiel prophesied to the breath to blow upon the dead in the valley of dry bones and live, just as the Lord God sent his Holy Spirit to breathe upon you in your baptism and bring you life, now the disciples have a mission. Now they have a goal to deliver that word of life to those who have not seen and yet will believe. Now they have a path set before them, even if it is a path that may end in blood or beast or fire or sword or cross. Jesus says, "Go. Speak my word of forgiveness to the penitent and withhold my forgiveness from the unbelievers. Comfort those who need my peace, but cast out those who reject me in my salvation. For it is only through the forgiveness of sins that one attains salvation, and that forgiveness is not given to those who refuse this good and gracious gift of our God." So why do they go into this hostile territory, no less? Why do they march out to the far-flung reaches of the known world, all the time certain that the same fate that befell their Lord Christ could and probably would befall them? Because they saw the future. They saw that death is not the end. They got it. that if Jesus can rebuke sin, if Jesus can defeat the devil, if Jesus can conquer death and live again, then what in this world can harm those who bear his name? What can this world do to you that has any lasting consequence? How can this world harm your eternal life if you have been called and named by the Lord your God? What can this world do to you beyond kill you? Nothing. Bodily death is temporary. Jesus has shown you that. So what can this world do to you that has any eternal consequence? Nothing. Your lives are hidden in Christ with God. You live forever in Christ. Your baptism has already killed you and made you alive again forever. So don't worry what this world can do, because it won't last. Jesus tells Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be disbelieving, but believe." What's the promise there? What's the certainty? Simply that Jesus, who was dead, is alive in his body, in the flesh. That the dead in Christ are raised to bodily life that lasts for all of eternity. With this promise in mind, with this future to look forward to, the disciples are given to go forth and speak the word of Christ crucified for you and your salvation to all nations. They have a living and in the flesh Lord to trust their future with. Just as you have a physical, bodily Lord to trust your future with too. And not just your future, but your present. Sin, disease, suffering, death, a virus, these have no lasting hold on you. For your Lord Christ, he who was lifted up from the earth to draw you and all of humanity to himself, has conquered these terrible foes for you. The strife is over. The battle is won. Christ is risen. Death and Satan lie beaten and smoldering in the dust, defeated, destroyed, with no lasting power over you. So say to this world, bring it, because you stand ready, because you have the living Lord Christ on your side, the risen and glorified Jesus, the pierced yet living Christ. He stands in your midst today and says, "Peace be with you." Trust this risen Christ with your very life. For he has it in his pierced and glorified hands, safe for all of eternity. Eternity, where you too will live with him in all of the uncountable multitudes of the faithful, for all of eternity. Amen.